Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesus. We're going to be beginning in just a moment in verse 18 or verse 15 probably. This is part two of walking in wisdom. And so as we return now to chapter 5, remember that what this entire chapter is the believer's, or to verse 21, the believer's lifestyle. And we know that we've learned in verse 1 of chapter 5 that we are to be imitators of God as dear children. We're his loved ones, and we're to imitate him. And we do so by walking in love, by walking in light, and by walking in wisdom. Now, we studied that out last Sunday about walking in wisdom because, man, the days that we are in then, for Paul and for us as well, they're evil days. And God in his word told us how to live in evil days, not evil months or years, but every day is an evil day in the world. Amen? So he tells us that we are to walk circumspectly. That word means carefully. It means with exactness. It means to know how you're walking in this world that is so filled with darkness. I used the example last Sunday of being upon a 5,000 feet in the air and having a ledge that's maybe 3 inches that your feet are on. And if you were in that area, you would walk very carefully. Amen? You would want to put your feet in the exact area. Now, with all that being said, there is only one way that we can walk in love, only one way that we can walk in wisdom, and there's only one way that we can walk circumspectly in this life. It can only be accomplished by the power of another, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. Now, with all of that being said, as we get to verse 18 in part 2 of this message, where it says, "And be ye not drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." When we enter into verse 18 to verse 20, actually, verse 21, I understand it. But this area here that we're getting ready to enter into is so different. It is vital, loved one. Listen to me now. It is absolutely vital that we understand that every word in verse 18, how important it is, and it needs to be defined. And if we're going to have a true understanding, especially of verse 18, then if we don't have that, we'll never walk circumspectly. We'll never really be walking in love. I mean, we will, but not like by the power of the Holy Spirit, if I could put it that way. So let's look at this difficult verse this morning, and I want us to leave here with an understanding of what it truly means. It says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is" what? Dissipation. That word simply means wild living or wasteful living, living a life, an example that Paul gives, living a life that is totally, completely out of control. It's lasciviousness, if you will. Remember, it's the same word that's used in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, describing the prodigal son who went out and wasted his inheritance on prodigal living, okay? So, then it goes, it says, now, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, or which leads to wild living, you could put it that way. But there's another one. But be ye, or in, of course, the New King James, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. So be is a verb, if you will. And so in the Greek, it's present continuous tense. So it would read this way. You are to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit moment by moment, hour by hour. It's something that is ongoing and continuous. Now, it's also a command. It is not a suggestion. It is not an option to be filled with the Spirit. And it's also plural, which means this. It's not be filled with the Spirit. It's plural in the Greek, which means it's not for just a few people in the church. It's for every person who is a believer in Christ Jesus. Amen? Are you all with me so far? Now, I'm teaching this morning in a different way. I want us to really get a handle on this verse. So the word filled, okay, we could use the word controlled by. So a person who is filled, well, let me ask you a question. A person who is filled with wine, you can see the wine has him under control. Or a person that is filled with a Coors Light. Do you understand? We'll bring it up to the 21st century. You know, barbecue and Coors Light or whatever. So you can see the effect that it has upon that individual. Amen? So when it says be filled there, it literally means to be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Spirit. He's running your life. He is the one who, when the Spirit has his way, amen? Very, very important word. So, but what I don't want you to do this morning, I don't want you to confuse being filled with the Spirit as something, as a new birth. You see, that's totally different. You know, we're not commanded to be filled with, we're not commanded to be born again, are we? Yes, in a sense we are, but what happens with us whenever we are born again? The moment that we are born from above, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it tells us that we are instantly, by one Spirit, we are baptized, immersed into the body of Christ. Now, that is the new birth. That's when you are placed in Christ's body. The moment that you believe, you confess with your mouth, Jesus be the Lord of my life, and you trusted Christ, something else happened. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:13-14, having believed, you were, past tense, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen? That Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our redemption until the very end. Now, the Holy Spirit is the seal, if you will. It speaks of ownership. He owns us. It speaks of security. We're sealed until the very day that we go home to be with the Lord. Now, this is not what Paul the Apostle, that's not what he's saying right here. He says in verse 18 again, now look at it. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or wild living, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now listen very carefully. Do you find that verse kind of strange? As we've gone through Ephesians, here we are, you go back to chapter 1, man, we are chosen in him, we are accepted in him, before the foundations of the earth, we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, all these things, and then blessed with all these blessings, and then all of a sudden, the Apostle Paul comes in here and he uses this word, drunk and be filled. Now, why did Paul mention drunkenness and the Holy Spirit? Very important that we get this. I mean, is Paul all of a sudden, is he giving us a sermon on drunkenness? See, there's where the issue comes in. Now, listen to me very carefully. No, he is not. Now, here's the problem. If that is all you see in verse 18, you have missed everything that the Apostle Paul is saying. What is Paul doing? Paul is giving us, as he teaches in verse 18, he's giving us a contrast, if you will. You remember in chapter 8 through what, 14, he talks about that, you know, that you were in darkness, or you were not in darkness, you were darkness, but now you are sons of light. So do you see the contrast? Darkness and light. When we get to verse 15, there it talks about the wise walk and the foolish walk. Are y'all with me? Okay, see, are you seeing the contrast? So when we come to verse 18, he hasn't changed. He's still using a contrast between drunkenness, being drunk, or being filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Is there any similarity between being drunk and being in the Spirit? What happened on the very day of Pentecost? Remember? They were in the upper room. The Holy Spirit was poured out. Cloven tongues above them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. And there was people from all over the world, the different people that came up for Pentecost there. And what did they hear? They heard the 120 in the upper room speaking in their own native language. And so what happened? And all of a sudden, people were going, "What is this? What does this mean?" And others mocking said, "Oh, they're full of new wine. They're drunk." Peter stood up and says, "Oh no, these are not drunk as you suppose. Since this is only 9 o'clock in the morning, and only people in Texas drink at 9 o'clock in the morning." Do you understand? But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Are you following me? But they thought this effect, there was an effect that they said they have to be drunk to be doing what they're doing. So here's the deal. Just as you see, if you see a person who is wasted, you know what I mean? Can you tell that that person's wasted? Okay. A person then that is filled and flooded with the Holy Spirit of God, you can tell as well. See, there is this is why Paul is giving this balance here, this contrast, if you will. But what I want you to do is key in on two words that are very important. The first word is drunk. The second word is filled in verse 18. Now, that word drunk is a very, very rare word. It's not like it's used throughout. Now, your Greek scholar would give you the example or the definition of that word drunk in the Greek language. Here's what he would say. Vincent says this. He says, this is a very curious use of the word, and it occurs in Homer where he is describing the stretching of a bull's hide, which in order to make it more elastic is soaked, say that word, soaked with fat. Now, the word, therefore, refers to the condition of a person which he is soaked with wine, meaning he is drunk. Does that make sense? That's what this word drunk means. But the other word that Paul uses in contrast to that is the word filled, which in the Greek is pleroo. That pleroo is a beautiful word. It means to be filled, to overflowing. It means that a vessel is you can put nothing else in this vessel. It is so full, completely full. So it's like me, if I had a glass of water, an empty glass, and I filled it full of water till it was up to the brim, there it would leave nothing else. Does that make sense? That means to be full of the Spirit, or soaked in the Spirit, if you will. The word is used, pleroo, and when Mary was there, and it says in John 12:3, it says, Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and here, and remember what happened, and the house was pleroo, or filled with the fragrance of the oil. In other words, it was saturated, it was immersed, it was filled to the top. The Bible says in Colossians 2:9-10, it says that the Lord, for in him dwells the fullness, the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, Jesus is 100% man. He is 100% God. Amen? And then in verse 10, it says this of Colossians 2:10. It says, and you, the Christian, are, and he uses the word, you are complete in him, in Jesus. That word complete means, again, pleroo. You are full of Christ. Does that make sense? Overflowing, whether you know it, whether you believe it or not. As a matter of fact, the Bible says about us in the church in, what is it, chapter 121, that we are, the church, we are the fullness of him who fills all in all. We are the pleroo, if you will, of God. Think about that. So that word is very, very important. So when they use the word pleroo here, when Paul used it, he's speaking of a total fullness, a total control, and totally to be dominated by the Holy Spirit of God. So to be filled with the Spirit means to be full of the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has been given the proper place in your life. Now listen, the Holy Spirit of God, so I hear people call him it sometimes. We don't ever do that. Amen? He's not a language. He's not a force. He's not an essence. He is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is not a doctrine. Does that make sense? Boy, and we need to know him. Oh, it's vital that we do that. Now listen carefully. The Christian life, okay, is life only in the Spirit. No other way. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. No matter what the flesh may do, everything in this life, it could be wonderful, glorious, and whatever. Loved one, it is the flesh can't help us. It's helpless. It's dead. It is powerless. And without the Holy Spirit of God, there is absolutely no way for the believer to be taken by the Holy Spirit from glory to glory to glory and transforming that individual into the same image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's that Christ likeness. So we must have the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said, remember what Jesus said, without me, John 15, 5, without me, you can't do a thing, okay? Now, verse 18. It's amazing that it is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not even an option. Did you know that verse 18, when you think of commands in the Bible, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen? Are those commands? Well, we would never say to those, that's just a suggestion, would we? No. And I'm going to have a drink on that. You know, what's amazing, and I'm going to get off the subject, so forgive me. This is the first service. We can be friendly. It's amazing. Saturday, did I have any allergies? No. I left here about 5 o'clock, you know, work and everything, and I felt great. And now it's Sunday. You know what I'm saying? And it just comes on me. Now, I want y'all to do me a favor. I hardly ever ask for prayer. Would you pray that this goes away from me? I mean, Saturday, okay. But on Sundays and Wednesdays, I don't want it. Is that a deal? If you'll pray for that, I'd appreciate it. Now, let's get back into the Word of God. Since verse 18 is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. It's, again, you would never say, thou shalt not steal. It's not a command. Well, so we want to obey that command. Again, look at it. Do not be soaked with wine, which is dissipation, meaning that unrestrained living, but be ye soaked, be ye filled up to the very brim, pleroo, overflowing with a person, the Holy Spirit. But here's the issue. To obey this command, how do we do that? I mean, do we say, Holy Spirit, fill me. I say that every morning in my prayer time. Amen? You should do the same. I pray that every day. When I walk from there to here, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, you take over. I don't know what to do. I don't know the hearts of your people. You know everything. All I'm going to do is be a vessel. You use me any way you want to. I'll say anything you tell me to say. Amen? So to be filled with the Spirit, that command, what is it that we, the believer, must do to be obedient to that? Well, number one, you know that we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Number two, it's a given. We've already talked about it, not to quench the Holy Spirit of God. That right there will stop. He won't leave us, but it will certainly stop his moving in us, okay? But there's something that we must do to obey this command, and what is it? There must be an ongoing, daily conscience desire on our part to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, we desire that. Lord, I desire to obey that command. Just as much as I don't want to steal, I desire never to steal, don't you? Amen, okay. You desire to be filled daily, moment by moment, where you're so aware of the Holy Spirit of God, so dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God. You see, it has to be your desire in order to obey this command, or you will not obey it, no different than you would say, do not lie. You know what I'm saying? But if you don't have a desire not to lie, you will lie. Does that make sense? Okay, so we look at this scripture. Now, Jesus, on the last day of that great feast, remember in John 7:37, Jesus stands up and here's what he did. He said, if anyone, say that word, anyone, if anyone thirst, if you're thirsty, if you have that desire, you're thirsty, he said, let him come to me and drink. He goes on, of course, he who believes in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And he's not talking about water, he's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? But here's the thing. When he said, if anyone thirst, here's what he's saying. If anyone desires, if you're really thirsty, if you desire, then you come to me and you drink. And here's the deal. We will not obey this command. We will not drink of the Spirit unless we're truly thirsty. We have to be thirsty. We have to desire the Holy Spirit to be moving in us, loved one. That's the command, to be constantly, moment by moment, filled with the Spirit of God. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, remember that verse? Desires. If you crave, if you really, really want me, you want to come after me, you want to travel with me, he says, that let that person what? Deny himself and take up his cross daily and then come and follow me. See, we will not follow the Lord, we'll not take up the cross, which is a command, loved one, daily, unless we desire to do it. And that is the only way we can really be obedient to that command. You see, do you desire to be controlled by the Holy Spirit? You know where he helps me more than in other words, do you desire to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God in every part of your being, your words, your deeds, your thoughts, your actions? He helps me keep my mouth shut more than you'll ever know. I mean, more than anything, keeping my mouth shut. Just, Bill, shut up. Don't answer that question. Don't even answer it. Don't. Shut up. Do you desire to be the Holy Spirit to control you when you have been wounded, when you have been hurt, and when you have to be obedient and forgive others as Christ has forgiven you? Are you with me? See, that is that's being under the control. And the more you grow and release that control, the quicker you are to forgive, the quicker you are to repent. Listen, that's what it means to be under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Now, that means that being filled with the Spirit is a repeatable experience in the life of the believer. If you go through the book of Acts and look, there are many instances of, say, the apostles, for example, they'd already been filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, but they had been refilled over and over throughout the book of Acts. Let me just give you a couple. When Peter was addressing the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4, verse 7, they were asking Peter, and they said, hey, by what power or by what name have you done this, Peter? Well, done what? When he and John were there at the temple, remember, and the lame man who was asking for alms, Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. So that's what this was about. And listen to what happened. Now, they asked Peter this question, and look, let me read it to you. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. He was overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Man, and he said unto them, you rulers, you people, you elders of Israel, and he goes on and talking about Jesus Christ, how God raised him from the dead, and he closes in that, when he was speaking to them in the 12th verse, and when he was said, and he told them, there is absolutely no other name given unto man under heaven by which you must be saved. He was refilled with the Holy Spirit of God. Whenever Peter and all of the disciples were forbidden to speak by the religious rulers the name Jesus, that don't you ever mention the name Jesus again. It says in Acts 4:31, and when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and here it comes, and they were, not just a few, they were all filled. Completely full of a person. There they were praying, and they were all filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And that boldness that they were speaking was not a human quality, loved one. That was the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. There are many, many fillings in your life. Another instance is whenever Elimaeus, the sorcerer, remember when Paul was there speaking with Sergius Paulus, and the sorcerer was attempting to turn the proconsul away from faith in Christ Jesus. And Paul the apostle says in Acts 13:9, it says, "And oh, then Paul, who is Saul, who is called Paul," here it comes, "filled with the Holy Spirit." Refilled. That word literally means completely over the top. His entire being was flooded with the Spirit of God. And it says, "And he looked intently at that sorcerer and said, 'Oh, full of deceit, all fraud, you son of the devil.'" I love Paul, don't you? He said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you're going to be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell upon him. He went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And then the proconsul believed. And when he saw what had been done, astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Man, you never know what's going to happen when you are overflowing with the Spirit of God. Did you notice that usually you have to be about the Lord's business? Yes. Remember there in Acts chapter 6, when the widows, the Greek widows were being neglected in their daily food, Peter said, "You guys are go out and find some men that can wait on these tables and take care of that." And he said in Acts 6:3, "Therefore, brethren, select out from among you seven men, good reputation," and here it comes, "full of the Holy Spirit." Now, that word "full" is a different word. But let me tell you what it means in the Greek, because I wrote it down. It means a space completely occupied by something. Or I could say by someone. Philip and Stephen, remember the table waiters, if you will. They were overflowing with the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen to me. Whenever a person is filled, I'm not talking about just our daily walk. I'm talking about that filling. When you're full of the Holy Spirit of God. Man, listen, it is detectable when people see that. They can see that. I mean, they can look at a person, and because they said, "You pick out for yourselves people among you," but they have to be full of the Holy Spirit. So to be filled with the Holy Spirit not only means that you're overflowing with him, but it also means, loved one, that you are aware of his presence. You're aware that he's with you right now. I've taught that for years here. You know that. Practice awareness. It also means that to be full of the Holy Spirit, it means that you're not full of self. It means that you're not dependent on your abilities. You're dependent upon the abilities of God, the Holy Spirit giving you the power. It's not by power, not by might, but it's by by the Spirit, saith the Lord, Zechariah 4:6. No. Now, let me start with verse 15 there in Ephesians. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." There's a contrast. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is," and that is impossible without being full of the Spirit of God. "And do not be soaked with wine." Don't be drunk with wine, another contrast, "in which is dissipation, but be filled or soaked with the Spirit." Now, I want you to look, because we're entering to what I consider holy ground. But you see, these before us now are a few characteristics, if you will, of being filled and controlled with the Spirit of God. And, it says speaking, singing, making, submitting. Now, I believe with all my heart, and I say this with tenderness and love, that for the majority of believers, we're getting ready to enter into foreign soil, foreign land, because few, I believe, actually move in this type of a controlled spiritual walk. We don't see much of this today. I don't believe that we do, or I haven't seen a lot of it today. Now, look what he says. "Speaking to whom?" Speaking to one another in what? In psalms, hymns. Now, hymns are which is composed by believers, and spiritual songs. Very important. Spiritual songs. Literally, songs that are composed, given to you by the Holy Spirit of God. It says, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. The best text actually have the fear of Christ. Now, with all of that being said, when a person is filled with the Spirit of God, refilled with the Spirit of God, there's something that just moves him in certain, him or her in certain ways. Spurgeon said this, God does not regard our voices, he hears our hearts. And if our hearts do not sing, we have not sung at all. That is a great word. Have you ever noticed the effects on other people that those that are, say, drunk are soaked with wine, okay, saturated, intoxicated? You know, I mean, if you've ever noticed that in the world, you know, there's the happy drunk, you know what I mean. Then there's the sad drunk, you know what I'm saying? And then there is the crying drunk, and then there's the mean drunk, and then there's the I lost all my inhibitions drunk. Do you know what I'm saying? There, you know, all of them. And there's many different effects of being soaked with wine. You know, we use the word trashed. That person is just trash, man, or they're passed out. Or look at that. They are throwing up. One of the favorites, isn't it? Now listen to me. I have never had any of those effects. I have never thrown up in my life by being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? No, never. It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. Now I'm going to ask you a question. This is holy ground. I'm not for sure I understand all of this. When was the last time you walked up to a brother or a sister and you spoke a psalm unto them? Think about that. This is a result of being filled with the Spirit of God. I mean, have you ever walked up to someone and said, oh, I have a Psalm 51:10. Oh, Lord, create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Have you ever done that? Have you ever walked up, the Lord is my shepherd? Do you understand? Now, or how about walked up and just started singing a hymn to someone? You know, were you there? You know, when they crucified me, remember that? Sometimes, don't you love that song? Makes me want to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? What a great song. Have you ever done that to someone? I've seen it happen once in my life. Becky and I, we were there in Nevada, and we were at a church service, and a person, it was the end of the service, a person got up and spoke in another tongue. And so people started giving the translation. I leaned over to my wife, not because I'm anything spiritual, but I leaned over to my wife and I said, all the interpretations that have been given are not from God. They're not from the Holy Spirit of God. And then all of a sudden, I'll never forget as long as I live, she must have been 85, maybe 90 years old, a Jewish lady who was now born again. And she turned with a smile on her face, and she started singing the interpretation. I have never forgotten that. And the move and the power and the anointing of God swept through that church. It was unbelievable. But these have been rare times that I have ever seen that. You have to ask yourself, what in the world is the purpose of speaking one to another in psalms and one to another in hymns? What's behind that? Well, when we're filled with the Spirit of God and the Lord moves us in that area, the purpose is always others. Amen? It's to speak life. It's to speak hope. It's to speak truth. It's to build people up. And you're filled with the Holy Spirit. only one time in my life, and I've told you the story probably many times over the last 28 years or whatever, but there's only one time that I have ever spoken a psalm to anyone where it was the Spirit of God. It was my first pastorate. And I've told you the story about that little girl. She was 12 years old. Her name was Jennifer. She was kidnapped by those two guys, taken to a boarded up house and repeatedly raped. It was horrifying. Beautiful little girl that was her and her family in the church. Long, long, beautiful, beautiful brown hair. And she would come to the altar every Sunday. And man, she would cry. And when I say cry, now listen, I'll never forget. I can still see it right now. She would lean down upon the altar with her hands like that and tears, alligator tears. I mean, big. I've never seen tears that big in my life. Hitting her hand and hitting in her hand. And I had come back up to pray for people. And I stepped over to the side. And I'll never forget it. I said, Father, I said, she comes to the altar every Sunday. Do you not have anything for her? She is so suffering. And as God is my witness, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, I was just filled. And he said, you go over to her and you say to Jennifer, you that God numbers your wanderings. And God puts your tears in a bottle. And he writes them in a book. She looked up at me for the first time. And I looked at her, and as she was questioning what I was saying, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, tell her, ask her, do you know what God does with those tears? And I'm going, do you know what God does with those tears? And he said, I pour them, all of her tears, back upon her. And every tear she cried now washes away every bit of her pain, every bit of her suffering, and every bit of her hurt. And as I did that, she was totally healed in front of me and went back for the first time to her family, her mother and father, never had to see another psychiatrist again. Now listen, that is do you understand what I'm getting at? So when we're on a holy ground right here, I don't understand all of that. This to me, again, the most difficult text in all of Ephesians. It's always been difficult for me. I pray through it and pray through it and pray through it, and I'm not saying I understand it. But I know that there's an experience for others behind all of that. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 37:3, it says, oh, trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. That's a good word to give it anybody. Amen? That's a wonderful word. But you have to be careful, Christian. Listen, we are in the midst of a pandemic, and it's escalating, as you know and I know, here in our own state. March 13th, from here to March 13th to now, it's been hard. I know that. But you're going to have to be careful, man, what you're soaking yourself with. Do you understand? You've got to be careful, man. You know, you cannot be playroo, you know, filled to the brim with Netflix. Do you understand? It's no good. There's nothing out there that's going to help you. You know, and listen, you may be seeking comfort, but don't mistake seeking comfort. You seek the comforter. Well, Bill, I need help. Well, don't seek help. Seek the divine helper who the Holy Spirit is. Amen? See, that's what we need to do. You've got to beware, man. Listen, you can't soak yourself with the world. You're going to find yourself, instead of singing hymns and so forth, you're going to be singing the songs of the world. And if you live in Texas, you're in real trouble because you're going to end up singing country music, man. You know, all my exes live in Texas. You don't want that. You don't want to sing that at all. You know, I wrote this one down. This is a good. I bought the shoes that just walked out on me. I heard that the other day. Never mind. That went right over our heads, didn't it? Speaking to one another, psalms. Hymns, spiritual songs. Look up that word, spiritual songs, if you in your concordance or Strong's or go online and look that up. Spiritual songs. It means composed by the Spirit. Think about that. Now, that could mean God moved upon, you know, the great writer. All of us, we can all write a song the Lord gives us. Amen? But this song is a little different because it is a supernatural song which is given by the Holy Spirit of God. You remember Paul and Silas. There they were. Great story. We know it. We've read it a million times. In Acts 16:25, it tells us at midnight, the darkest hour, Paul and Silas, they were praying and they were singing hymns to God. And it says, and the prisoners were listening to them. That word literally means to listen with pleasure. Now, they were, you know that they were beaten. You know that they were stretched out in the stocks. There was real blood. There was real pain. And they were truly singing. But I believe that the reason I know it's a song given by the Spirit of God is a supernatural song. That's what I believe. A supernatural song given for a divine purpose. That's what they're given for. There in the darkest hour, the midnight hour, you remember the earthquakes and you know what happened. All the doors of the prison came open. The jailer was saved. It was for a divine purpose. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this. He said, songs come only from God in the night. They're not in the power of men. Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 15:15, I think it was, he said, or 14:15, I'm sorry, he said, I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with understanding. And here Paul says, you have to do something. You have to speak, be filled with the Spirit. Speak one another psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. See, it is in dark times like now that we're going to hear a lot of singing, a lot of different voices, you know, this COVID thing that we're going through. But usually this is a time for deep intimacy with the Lord, loved one. You know, there's sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I start praying. It's easier to pray when it's dark and you wake up and your mind is not on anything but God. Amen? And I start praying to the Lord. And, you know, the Bible says in Psalm 42:8, the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. I love this. Now, listen. And in the night, His song shall be with me. What a wonderful thing to know. I need God's song in the night. You know what I'm saying? I need His love in the daytime. I need His love all the time. Remember Job, that great study we did in Job? It says in Job 35:10, he cried out and he says, because of the multitude of oppressions, they cry out, meaning whenever bad times come, horrible times. He says, oh, they cry out for help because of the arm of the mighty, but no one says, where is God, my maker, who gives songs in the night? God gave Job a song in the night. We've sung it for centuries, you know. I know that my Redeemer lives, amen? Yeah, listen, you know, if we're honest, we've all had songs in the night, songs of worry, songs of doubt, our heartbreaking, maybe over our children, whatever it might be. It could be nights of loneliness. But I know, again, that His song, it says, shall with me be with me in the night, in the darkest hour. And the question is, I know that whatever we're going through, that God has a song for us, for all of us, amen, in the darkest hour. He's the author of it. And it's to build you up. It says in Psalm 149:5, let the saints be joyful in glory and let them sing aloud on their beds. What a wonderful word. So the greatest thing that we can do is let songs of deliverance fill our heart. Amen. We do that when we are filled with the Spirit of God. You know, let me just read a scripture to you here about that. I marked it just a little bit ago. In Psalm 59, David is crying out. He goes, you know what? At evening, they return, meaning his enemies. They return. They growl like a dog. And they go all around the city, and they wander up and down for food, and they howl if they're like they're not satisfied. Now, listen to what David says. But I will sing of your power. When is the last time you've done that? I will sing about the power of God. He says, oh, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and my refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, oh, my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense and my God is my mercy. The Bible tells us, I love this scripture, Psalm 32:7, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. Here it comes. And you surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. Pause right there. In other words, you think about it. Think how God has delivered us from sin and delivered us from darkness and delivered us from hell and delivered our sins as far as the east is from the west. Listen, when we are obedient, however we learn it and do it, when we're obedient to verse 18, we obey that command, then verse 20 and verse 21, loved one, they're easy. They're not hard at all. Look at verse 19 again, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. We should always sing to the Lord, not about the Lord. Sing to him. He loves us to sing to him. Amen? And how do we do it? It says, well, we make melody in our heart. Singing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. Listen to me. Singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, not to the beat of the music. Are you with me? I'm not being critical, but not to the beat of the music. It's our hearts. You know, most of the music that's written in this latter generation, no one's even going to remember. I say that in love. Do you understand? No. Listen, I wonder if we have forgotten sometimes how to just make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Maybe sometimes this generation we've forgotten how to sing to the Lord without anything. You know, where you're just in your room, I love you, Lord. Remember? And I lift my voice. Just where you're singing to him and no one else. Singing from your heart. See, that's what that means. And then it says giving thanks always to God. Let's look at it. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an attitude of gratitude. That's an everything give thanks for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is where we're not anxious for anything, but we let our requests be known unto God with thanksgiving. Amen? That thankful heart. And he says, giving thanks always for all things. Now look who he's giving thanks to. That doesn't mean giving thanks for COVID-19. Do you understand me? That's not what that means, all things. People take that to the very materials of heresy. No, giving thanks for all things mean, it says, look at it, all things to God the Father, meaning all the blessings that God has given unto us. Again, Ephesians 1:3, thanks be unto God, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no more blessings. You already have them all. That's what he means here, that all things to the Father. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I know I got to hurry, but quickly. Where was Paul when he penned the verses that we just read? In prison. And he said, oh, give thanks, man. He said, submitting one to another in the fear of the Lord or of the fear of Christ. Now, that word is one of the great words in Scripture. Submission, submit. The Bible teaches us in 1 Peter 5:5 that we're to be submissive one to another and so forth. You know, that we're to walk in humility or be clothed in humility. You know, for God resists the proud, but he exalts the humble. So that's submissiveness. However, This verse 21 actually is the introduction to verse 22 and following concerning the marriage covenant or marriage relationship. And all I'm going to say about that word submit until next Sunday, the Lord willing, if we're still here, we're not home, you know what I'm saying? Is that that word submit is not a bad word. Man has made it a bad word. Pastors have made it a bad word. But it's from a word from heaven. Therefore, it is a beautiful word. Amen? So next Sunday, the Lord willing, we're going to learn what it really means, that word submit. Now, let us do something. From now on, every day, say, Lord, it is my desire, in your quiet time, just say, Lord, it's my desire to be filled to the full of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to be controlled by you. I want all my decisions and all my actions, everything I do, Lord, I want you to do that. I yield my being. Amen? We are the temple of God. Practice awareness. Practice dependency upon the Holy Spirit of God. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name right now for all that you've done, all that you're going to do, and even now, by your grace, your mercy, and power, fill us. Refill us, overflow us with the person, the Holy Spirit of God. We love you, we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name, and we all say,